Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by the Casino at Delaware Park. Open for gaming, live racing, sports wagering, and golf. Visit DelawarePark.com. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery must be 21 to play. Today's question, how many wins would a team that wins the NFC East have at the end of the season? A8, B7, C6, D5, or less? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. You can also hit us up for AMA. In an hour, AMA, you ask, we answer. Make them some good, fun, creative questions. Get them in on Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Again, AMA today, every Wednesday at noon. Get some great questions into us. Seltzer selecting the best of the best. He'll fire them away to us in an hour. All right, let's go out on the Swartz Carlton guest line right now. If you're injured at work, get Justice. Call Swartz Carlton at 800-JUSTICE. He joins us every Wednesday at this time for a great film breakdown review of what went on in the Eagles' last game. And, of course, look ahead to the matchup tomorrow, the Eagles and the Giants. You can follow him at Shiel Kapati on Twitter, Mr. Shiel Kapati. Hey, Shiel.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're good, man. What's the answer to that question? 8, 7, 6, or 5 or less wins the division? What are you thinking right now?
Yeah, I heard it. I think I would say 7.
I think I would say 6. I think my instincts are 6.
I think 6 is most likely.
Well, 6 wins.
That's ambitious. 7 is yeah.
Unbelievable. All right, Shiel, let's get to the Birds, and we'll do a little review and then some preview. Eagles-Ravens, you had a chance to watch the tape. Carson got going big time in the second half. The offense was a struggle in the first half. Was there something that you noticed structurally different? Did he just start making plays in the midst of the breakdown that he couldn't in the first half but could in the second? What is the key to how they get going in the second half, or is it just circumstantial, bizarre, and not something that can be replicated?
I think it's mostly circumstantial, to be honest. You know, you look at it in the first half, and they had a couple opportunities, and that's against, you know, what was the top-rated defense coming in. Hightower drops a perfectly placed deep ball. That's a minimum 50-yard completion, maybe a 75-yard touchdown. Miles Sanders drops a 21-yard touchdown. You're dealing with terrible protection the entire game. And then, it was pretty obvious with the film that the Ravens let up in the second half. I mean, a guy like Marcus Peters, he's not playing that game like it's the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. Oh. There was a 50-yard completion to Hightower there down the left sideline where, like, the Ravens weren't even lined up. I mean, you know, the Eagles did nothing schematically. That was as classic a case as you'll see of the defense just falling asleep. So I thought Wentz battled. You know, certainly he made some plays that run. He always has that toughness. He's not a quitter by any means. So, you know, those things are encouraging, but I don't think you can look at the second half game plan and say that's going to carry over to another game.
Shiel, I've been saying that they called it a game after the third quarter. I think you bring up a great point. Marcus Peters playing in that game. Like, think about the 2-point conversion to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside where he just stopped playing. I mean, he just quit.
It was unbelievable. He was expecting, Arcega-Whiteside to run the post. And when he didn't run the post, you said, oh, well, you
just
know, that's okay. Yeah, go ahead. You can take that one. We'll wait for the next play. Totally agree with you.
So Lamar Jackson played pretty poorly. Is that more on him or a good job by Jim Schwartz in the defense?
I think the Eagles did do some good things. You know, I'll tell you a player who I was really impressed with was Josh Sweat in this game and really all season. I mean, I need to sort of reevaluate what my expectations are for this guy, because his ceiling, I think, now is a lot higher than I thought it was going to be. I mean, that is a very good left tackle he's going up against in Ronnie Stanley, and he had some very impressive reps against him. He's making plays behind the line of scrimmage. He had a batted pass, and he's playing with a lot of energy. So I think their defensive line play was legit. You know, Fletcher Cox had some nice moments in the run game. Brandon Graham, I thought, had a really good game. So I'll give their defense credit there. But that Ravens offense has struggled. You know, it's been nowhere near the group we saw last year. If you look at all the statistics, even going into this game, it was mostly a mediocre unit. Now, it's a dangerous group because of Jackson's running ability. But, I think certainly there were plays on the field that they didn't make there as well.
You mentioned some names on that D-line. Javon Hargrave is a name that we haven't heard much from. You know, five games, three of those games this year, he's had no stats. I know he's a D-tackle. You don't get a bunch of stats. But is he playing well, or is he underperforming?
I mean, he's underperforming. The only reason I haven't gone all in on sort of crushing this move is because I don't know how healthy he is, coming off that injury in camp. But if we assume that he's healthy, I don't see a discernible difference between him and Hassan Ridgeway right now, if I'm being honest. I mean, he's played 190 snaps. He's got five tackles, one sack, two quarterback hits. This is a guy you paid $13 million a year, and you chose him instead of some other options that maybe could have helped your offense in the offseason. So, again, the only reason I'm not kind of going all in is because I got to wonder if there's some kind of, if he's still dealing with an injury from the summer or if there's something else. But if he's healthy and this is the guy you paid for, I mean, this is a huge free agent bust.
Wow. Okay.
Maybe he'll turn it around.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting to hear what all the hubbub was about with Javon, and I haven't seen it. So I agree with you. The failed 2-point conversion at the end of the game. What did you see?
This is a tough one. To me, it looked like not everyone knew what the play was. To be honest, because if you look at it, Carson Wentz in the offensive line, they are blocking a zone read. It's very simple. We've seen them run it a million times. You're leaving the edge defender unblocked. I think it was Matthew Judon.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz is going to read that player. He's either going to give the ball to Boston Scott or he's going to take off and run with it. However, they brought Richard Rodgers in motion to that side. And so that, I thought Richard Rodgers, his job is going to be to block LJ Fort, who's the linebacker, to that side. Well, Richard Rodgers goes out in a pass route. And so now all of a sudden, it's not Carson Wentz reading one guy. There's two unblocked defenders on the edge there, and you can't win. I mean, the play's over. And so I haven't gotten a good explanation from them yet. And, to me, it looked like not everyone was on the same page, which is, not a good sort of feather in the cap of the coaching staff.
That he wouldn't know his assignment. But at the same time, does that take Doug off the hook if that's true of Bitchell, that he called a fine play and a player just didn't execute it at all?
Well, the same play failed when they tried to run it earlier in the game.
Plays fail sometimes.
Without the Richard Rodgers motion. I mean, the previous time they ran it, Zach Ertz was in, and he was stationary. But
you know what I'm getting at. I mean, Doug on Monday and Tuesday and Sunday night took a tremendous amount of heat in this town for people saying, don't play, don't play, don't play, you're an idiot. I mean, Sheila, it sounds like you're saying if the player had done his job, it might have worked.
Honestly, those are tough. So it's really hard on those 2-point conversions in key spots. We're almost always going to judge it based on the results. You know what I mean? Like, you're right. Yeah, if Richard Rodgers blocks LJ Fort, Matthew Judon did bite on Boston Scott. And so there's a chance Wentz kind of dives in there and we're saying, wow, great call. They scored the 2-point conversion. What a comeback.
Wow.
And it's a whole different conversation this week. But, it's tough. There are some of the analytics studies say that teams should be running the ball more in that specific spot. When you're at the 2-yard line, you don't need to make it complicated and you can convert there. So, I would somewhat agree with you that I can't crush them on the call, even though the one didn't work earlier with Jalen Hurts.
Well, what about, have you ever heard of a coach admitting he ran out of plays for a certain situation?
I mean, I've actually heard coaches make this argument because when they make it is when I've asked them before, why didn't you go for it on like a 4th-and-2 late in the game? And they'll say, we had short yardage situations early in the game and we used our plays. And I'm just like, wait, what? I mean, what is going on at practice that is the case? I mean, you have these base plays that you run over and over and over again, mm-hmm. that you could dress them up a little bit differently and call them in that spot. So, yeah, I mean, I don't like that. You got to be prepared for every situation. Isn't that what we hear from the great coaches, that they're prepared for every situation? And you got to have something there. Sheil, that's not a legit excuse.
Sheil, let's get a little positivity in here. Fulgham, again, did some nice things. Came alive in the second half after struggling in the first. What do you see with him as far as his future? I mean, what kind of receiver does he project, in your opinion, to be?
Man, I thought he was better in this game than he was the previous week, to be honest, on film. I mean, he had opportunities to have a monster game here. There were 2-3 chances in the first half. I know I'm watching the game live. Everyone else is saying, where is Fulgham? Why aren't they throwing him the ball? Well, if you watch the film, there's at least 2 or 3 occasions where the guy's wide open, protection breaks down, Carson Wentz takes a sack, and they can't get the ball to him. I mean, he had Marcus Peters turned around on this one route on the right sideline where I had to rewind it a few times. And then he draws the pass interference penalty. I think that was a 30-yard penalty, so you put that on top of the 75 yards. He had a really nice game. I mean, I want to see more. It's tougher to say after 2 games what his ceiling is, but he plays hard. He makes plays on the ball. He's got excellent hands. I was impressed with his route running in this game. He can play inside. He can play outside. So he's not someone who's going to wow you with his speed. But in terms of the other stuff you want from kind of a professional wide receiver, I mean, he looks like a starting caliber, above average starting caliber wide receiver to me through 2 games.
Sheil, there are still some people, some detractors, Carson Wentz detractors out there. Should we be giving Carson more credit than we are because of the dysfunction he's forced to work through?
I think the last 2 games have been a lot better than the first 4 games with Wentz. You know, I think, again, it's so hard to pin it on just 2 plays. But, man, you look at, like, those 2 drops. I mean, those are, plays that NFL players should make. And if they make those, then all of a sudden we're looking at a totally different stat line. So some of the issues that he had earlier in the season are still there. You know, there are accuracy issues. I don't know what's going on with him and Zach Ertz. I mean, they can't get on the same page, and he's missing him all game long. You know, he had the fumble. I thought there were 2 balls that could have been intercepted. So there are issues. But at the same time, I mean, you look at the end of that game, that's going up against a top-rated defense, and it's him, Jason Kelce, and a bunch of guys, including a right guard, who Jamon Brown, who quite frankly, he should not be on the field again. I mean, I don't know who they can put in there instead of him, but you can't put him out there. I mean, he was getting crushed all game
long. So Matt Pryor's better than Jamon Brown?
Yes. Yeah. I know last week I was telling you, hey, they got to get Matt Pryor out of there. Well, I need that one back because I see who their other option was. But, you know, I thought Wentz battled, and he's having the same issues. But on the other hand, he's making many more plays than he did earlier in the season, whether it's outside of structure, the scrambles, those types of plays. So I've been somewhat encouraged by Wentz the last 2 games. But let's see what happens Thursday night.
Shields, all right, tomorrow night, let's get to it. They might get a couple guys back. They're not going to get many back. Most of these guys are still not going to be playing. The team the Eagles are going to walk out on the field with, is that a better football team than the team the Giants are going to walk out on the field with?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you just have to kind of look at sort of the quarterback and the infrastructure, I think. And, you know, maybe it's not a huge difference, but that Giants team should have a top-5 pick, in my opinion, when all is said and done. I mean, they're averaging 14.5 points per game. That's 31st. In the NFL. They went through a stretch where they went 20 drives without a touchdown. Daniel Jones has fumbled 22 times in 19 NFL games. So, I thought defensively, I thought they were one of the least talented groups in the NFL coming into the season, but they actually have been okay there. They've been mediocre. It's been that offense that's just been a complete disaster, from the offensive line to the play calling to everything else. So, yeah, I do think the Eagles have a better team.
All right, Sheil, outstanding work as always. Every single Wednesday at 11 o'clock, Sheil Kapadia with us. And this is why we do film breakdowns. Some of the details you hear here. Sheil, thanks so much, man. Great stuff.
Take care, guys. Talk to you next week.
And he really does shine a light on aspects of the game that you see, but you don't really quite get because, you know, you can't get it unless, as they say, the eye in the sky never lies. Now, sometimes the eye in the sky confuses you because you don't know. Was Richard Rodgers supposed to do something else or not? But it at least adds complexity to the discussion that previously hadn't been there.
He was supposed to block Fort. I'm pretty sure. I feel like that's why they changed. The one thing they changed about that play was they brought him in motion from the other side of the ball instead of just lining the tight up on the line of scrimmage. Give him a better chance to make that block, you know, so he's closer to the rush linebacker.
All right, up ahead at 11:30, your chance to win the Nest Audio from Google, the new Nest Audio. That's at 11:30. We're giving one away. We'll rock the calls as well. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie on WIP. And let me tell you this, FanDuel Sportsbook is where you should be in partnership with Valley Forge Casino to bet all the action, whether it's National Football League or other leagues. It's all there for you with FanDuel Sportsbook. And here's something you won't want to miss for Pro Football Week 7. Right now, new users can get an exclusive plus 1,500 odds boost on either team tomorrow night, Philly or New York, the division rivalry game right here in Philadelphia. You heard that right. You can bet $10 to win $150 on either team to win. What a spectacular deal. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, incredible odds, they're just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, exhilarating bet types such as same-game parlays, where you combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And once you win, FanDuel Sportsbook gets you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. If you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, now's the time. Get involved with the action by downloading the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Use promo code HAMMER. That's promo code HAMMER to make your first deposit to claim these tremendous plus 1,500 odds boosts on either Philly or New York in tomorrow's game. Promo code HAMMER when you sign up with FanDuel Sportsbook. More ways to win.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.